varieties of energies. This Rupa Shakti then has various aspects. There's the Vibhava aspect, the Prabhava aspect, and the Anubhava aspect. So in the Vibhava, then you have the Vibhava will be the aspect when you're dealing with rasa of the Ashray. He's the Vishay, meaning he's the enjoyer. Then there's the enjoyed, or the, who's the Ashray of the particular relationship. So these relationships are found within the internal, the external, and the marginal potencies. Right? They take that position of service to Krishna, rendering service, and then he, as the Vishay, he reciprocates. So this is the aspect of the Lord's potency of the Vibhava. In the Prabhava, then you have the Icha, Kriya, and Jnana Shaktis. So the Icha Shakti means his will, his desire. And so this, and this Icha Shakti, because for Krishna it's all about rasa, then this manifests all the different, his names, forms, qualities, pastimes, associates, paraphernalia, whatever there is to do with the interaction. Means if he's going to fulfill his desire for rasa, there must be the manifestation of the forms that express this rasa. So it's through these exchanges that his desire, his icha, is fulfilled. Then there'll be the interaction between these various elements. This is the Kriya Shakti. So this is Balaram, or Sankarsana. So he pulls everything together, and that interaction between them, the methods, the action itself. Does that make sense? In other words, there's going to be a pastime. You know, there's going to be, you have to have the elements that are going to interact, Krishna and the devotees. But there's a method to interact, a technique. Right? So that technique, that interaction, that technique, that's the Kriya Shakti. But the experience gained from that, those moods and all that, that'll be the Icha Shakti. Right? Then there's a basis of what you're going to do, the Jnana Shakti, in which one will see the Lord either in majesty, in sweetness, and also the appreciation of the Dham, right? The beauty and glory of the Dham. So these three aspects then influence all the other aspects. Right? So only Krishna is in control of the Icha Shakti. And then to fulfill his desire, he expands into all the other forms, other swamsa and vibhinamsa forms. So the swamsa means his expansions in Vishnu Tattva, and vibhinamsa means it within the jivas. So that's all to fulfill his desire, right? So it all goes back to Krishna in the Icha Shakti. Then the third aspect, the Anubhava, then that will be the Samvit, Sandini, and Vladini Shaktis. So each of these has an influence on the other, right? The main influence is the Kriya Shakti, Kriya Icha, and Jnana Shaktis. This is the influence that's there. Then the position of relationships that's in the Vibhava, or in the, internal, external, and marginal. Then the secondary, the supporting aspects, or the places where you see the manifestation, is within the Sandini, Samvit, and Vladini potency. So now, within all this, we see that there's a lot of arrangements. We generally take it, who's making all the arrangements is the big guy. But it's not. It's the one who's appreciating all the arrangements who's the big guy. Right? That's the fun part of the material world, is because we've taken the secondary aspects of the Lord's energies as the primary. Secondary meaning the forms and activities as primary. We miss that the actual primary is the relationship, the taste of the relationship between the Lord and the devotees, the expression of prema. That's the real primary. Everything else is secondary. Right? Because why is Mother Jashoda cooking? To express her love. Why does Mother Jashoda have a house? To express her love. Right? Why does she make ornaments for Krishna and arrange things and worry about him going out into the cabinet? That's to express her love. The cowherd boys are running and jumping and wrestling. That's to express the love. You understand? So what we've done is we've taken all this wrestling and jumping and houses and cooking and all that and thought, hey, I could get into this. So we've taken the secondary and appropriated it for ourselves. So once one does that, then one's not looking at the internal potency anymore. Right? Once, you know, it means that within the Vibhava, you're not looking at internal potency, you're looking at external. Because internal means Krishna's energies as Vibhava in relation to Krishna. But otherwise, if we take it that it's in relationship to us, then we get the reflection. Just like Ravana, he sees Sita. But as soon as he tries to catch her, he's not dealing with the internal potency Sita anymore. He's dealing with external potency. He's dealing with Maya Sita. So that's what we do. You understand? Same pastime, right? Sita's there, Ravana's there, Hanuman's there, Ram is there. One person is there, Sita. But the aspect that's manifesting to Ravana is Maya. Is internal potency for Ram, right? For Hanuman, internal potency, right? Hanuman's there talking to Sita. He's talking to the internal potency. The Rakshasis who's guarding her are dealing with the external potency. Does this make sense? So it's a mood difference, right? So because we've appropriated like this, therefore we're in the material world, right? This is the functioning. So, and therefore we take it that the organization of everything and that basic mood, this is the primary thing. You know, whether it's sweetness or it's, you know, you get into organ, oh, that's too, you know, that's Lakshmi Narayan, we're only Radha and Krishna, right? These kind of camp divisions or, you know, this activity is the thing. No, no, it's Harinam. No, no, it's Bhagavatam. No, no, it's management. No, no, it's... That's Kriya Shakti. So we take the Jnana Shakti and the Kriya Shakti as the primary element. And because of that, we don't actually catch that the point of the Icha Shakti is to express love. That's the real thing that we're trying to get to. All these other things are secondary. Like you go into the kitchen, you want to cook something. So that cooking is your primary thing. Now, which pots you use, what's available in the kitchen and all that, all the different techniques that you'll use, that's secondary. The point is to get that preparation. But we've taken it, no, it's using this pot is important. No, no, using that pot is important. So it's not about the preparation. So here it's about getting money, getting facility, getting position, managing things, making things happen. It's not necessarily about the primary of pleasing Krishna. Of course, it's in the back of our mind. But the point is it's what's in the front of the mind that really drives. So that's the difference. Prema means it's only Krishna in the front of the mind. Bhava Bhakti means Krishna's there, prominent, but there can be other distractions. Does that make sense? Then you have conditioning. So it just means how much is there. So when we're going from Shraddha to Prema, it means how much Krishna is becoming more and more prominent. So Shraddha means now Krishna's come into the picture. There's so many other things are there. Then as Sadhusanga comes up, then more Krishna, then Bhajana Kriya, like this, it goes until it gets to Prema. Right? Does this make sense? Right? So we're trying to see that we're taking the primary aspect, that prema, or pure devotion, is actually the primary element that we're trying to do. If we can see that, then all these other things of lila and all that, then they have, you get real taste out of them. Otherwise, then it's just information. Good information, purifying information, attractive information, but just information. Oh, now it is 8 in the morning, so that means then Krishna is just having his breakfast now. You know, Radharani and the maidservants and Lalita and all the main shakis are in the kitchen. They're cooking on 100 fires for Krishna. Krishna's sitting out at the table with Nanda Baba and his brothers, Upananda, Sunanda, and all of them. Like that, Madhu Mangal, all the other primary cowherd boys are there, and all this and that. They're interacting. The prashad is, I mean, the different bogas are coming out. Then some of the gopis are serving, but Radharani is shy, so she stays in the back. They're watching all this, but there's also other groups of gopis there. You know, so all this is going on. So this to us is information, nice information, but, you know, inspiring. But hearing this, the persons on the platform of prema are actually tasting prema, ecstasy. Right? We hear it and go, oh, nice. You understand? So that nice is way better than anything you get in the material world. Therefore, that's why we discuss it. But we have to know the difference between, I've just figured out that reading about the Lord's pastimes is something important, and therefore I'm the best devotee, and anybody who's not doing it is really out there, because I'm really on the advanced platform. This is all a waste of time. Because the point is it's taste. It's not about I'm hearing about the Astakaliya Leela. Right? It's not that. That is a technique that you use to appreciate what Krishna and his devotees are doing. So it's about prema. It's not about that, oh, I'm chanting, oh, if I'm chanting, I got to remember the past times. No. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say I can't even think of something. But what's something you eat in Peru? Huh? Arepa. Okay, so now I say the word arepa. Okay? So now to how many people is arepa is just a name? Right? Okay. Now how many have seen arepa? Okay. Now, how many have tasted it? Okay, so you understand? So that means for those who have not seen it, arepa is just a name. You understand? Now, as you see it, you know, what's arepa? Oh, that preparation is arepa. Now when I say arepa, now you think of the prep. Now if you taste it, then you know what that is. You understand? So it's not an artificial, oh, I have to think of the pastimes. If I say arepa, for those who have seen it, tasted it, they don't. It's not just a name. It's the whole experience. You understand? That's what chanting Hare Krishna is about. So that's why Prabhupada said, you focus on hearing the name. You hear the name. The name is Krishna. That's where the name comes from. From that comes form. From form, all the qualities expand from Krishna's form. It's not that his qualities are separate from the form. For us, there's a form, and there's qualities that made the form. But for Krishna, his form is the source of his qualities. He and his qualities, they're non-different. Right? We're used to everything's different. It's non-different. Right? But by doing that, by remembering the pastimes, if that keeps you focused on hearing the name, great. Then that's the good part. Not that I'm trying to remember the past times and I remember for about 5 seconds before I get distracted and then I remember again. So in the 2 hours of chanting japa, if I add it all up together, there's maybe, you know, one minute and, you know, 37 seconds of remembering the past times. Right? Does that make sense? You know, but if it made you hear your japa better and focus on it, then it's useful. But it's not that, oh, I'm on the platform of pastimes. No. It's a matter of you experience the name, then these things make sense. Otherwise, it's technique, like I was saying, it's Kriya Shakti and it's Jnana Shakti. Icha Shakti means that it's about pleasing Krishna. It's just directly about pleasing Krishna. Not I'm chanting to try to get, I'm sitting there in the kirtan and closing my eyes trying to get into the groove, get the feeling and all that. Is it about Krishna? It's connected to Krishna, but it's about me being in the groove, not about pleasing Krishna. You understand? But with time, you do that enough, at least you're in the groove there rather than with something else. Right? You know, we're not listening to some metals or something. You understand? So then it's about Krishna. It's connected to Krishna. We become purified. We become absorbed in Krishna. Then we start to get that taste. Then the name turns into more than just name. Right? You understand? There's a subtlety here because we just pack it all together. But because we pack it all together, then we don't make the distinction in other things. I'm in the temple, I'm doing things, I'm a devotee, I'm in the temple, I'm serving Krishna, so it's devotional. I go home because I'm a devotee, whatever I do at home, it's devotional. You see the faulty logic there? Because when you get home, why is there a home? Home's for the conditioning, not for the soul. The soul needs a house, soul needs family, soul needs money. Right? You're from Jamaica, you don't need that. Soul needs something else, but hey, you understand? But the point is the soul doesn't need any of that. Soul needs prema. That's the natural thing. So that's the conditioning. And then we're connecting that conditioning to Krishna. That's the glory. Right? Does this make sense? So when we're dealing this, then we can see is that these different elements, what their specialness is. It's not just another pastime. It's not just hearing some words. Right? It's about the position. So then when Krishna's there, Krishna then, his mood in Braj is his main mood. That is the primary mood. Why did we get into all this stuff before? Because the arrangements are made by the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Right? But the tasting's happening in Icha Shakti. So it seems like it's the smallest. So then Krishna in the mood in Braja, just having that desire to interact with devotee, seems like the smallest. Because we dealt with it a lot with Krishna, then it's not so bad. But now when we get into the potencies, that means out of these Shaktis, the Hladini Shakti, that's the original personality of the Surup Shakti. That's Radharani. That's just one of the side. That's in the Anubhava. You understand? So that's the whole thing. For Radha and Krishna, it's not about arrangements. That Balaram takes care of and Narayan Vasudeva takes care of. Right? Because, and they're expanding from Krishna. In other words, since they're the secondary aspects, the whole big arrangements and all that, Krishna expands as Balaram and as Vasudeva to take care of that. So that he can just focus on the interaction, the enjoyment. Just like the big man, he's having this huge party. But all he does is walk around, greet guests, talk to people, just schmooze, and that's all he does. Why? Because he has probably like 50 people that are hired that are organizing it. You understand how it's working here? So he'd say is, okay, well, the party organizer, the guy sitting up in the balcony with a little headphone thing on, talking all the time and getting out his little, you know, his, what do you call it, BlackBerry and all that, he's the big guy. No, the guy who's enjoying the party is the big guy. It's his desire that it's going on. So that mood of just being that the host, which is the smaller thing, seemingly, that's actually the big thing. Right? So Krishna is just there enjoying with Radharani. That's the big thing. So within the Vibhava, then the internal potency. Within the internal potency, then the Hladini potency. That's the main thing. And that, the influence of that is the Icha Shakti, which is then Krishna's desire. Because it's all about Krishna's desire, fulfilling Krishna's desire. And Radharani is the one who knows what is Krishna's desire. Right? So the only one who can really please Krishna is Radharani. Right? But now, within this, it's the same formula where you have the major thing and you have the arrangements. But we're talking about that not on that bigger scale of the cosmic scale. We're talking about within the Icha Shakti. Right? Then you have Radha and Krishna interacting. And then you have to have arrangements. Right? You still have to have arrangements. Who's making the arrangements? That Radha and Krishna are coming together and this is happening, that's happening, all that. That is Lalita. Okay? She's the one making arrangements. When Radharani, when they're going to meet Krishna, right? Then they're crossing the Jamuna and everybody's together. But as soon as they get to the other side where Krishna is, then Radharani interacts with Krishna. Lalita goes off to see that the next part of the pastime is being arranged. Because then why are you going out that night to meet Krishna for the Rasa dance? Okay? Does the Rasa dance just happen? Right? Does that make sense? No. It happens because there's management. You understand? And it's not a committee. We're not sitting in a room making, you understand? They're actually going out doing it. So she goes to the bank of the Jamuna and tells the maidservants what to be doing and make sure it's arranged. But because you don't have any ignorance there, it can be arranged very quickly. And you're dealing with a lot of people. Right? 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants. So therefore, then they can arrange that all very nicely. Some stay for the pastime that's going on, the others are arranging the next. She manages that. Right? Then, when she's got that arranged, then she comes back to see how Radha and Krishna have been interacting. Right? But she's a Shakti. Right? She's a friend. So that means she's on an equal level with Radharani. Right? She's her own group leader, but she and her group serve Radharani. So now, when you're dealing with equals, there's always that element of chivalry. Right? Means you have someone who's senior, junior, then it's less in friendship. Right? Or non-existent. But when it's equals, then there's always that kind of, you know, playfully vying for position. So then, naturally, she thinks it's all been arranged, it's all happened nicely in that. So then, what happens on this side? Then the arrangement there is when Lalita comes, that, how you say, the Rupa is arranged that the maidservants have redressed Krishna Radharani very nicely, exactly the way she was before she met Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? So now when Lalita comes and Radha and Krishna are sitting together, it looks as if nothing happened. So then that's going to be the fun. Because she's going to think, how come nothing happened? So that bewilderment, that's going to be the fun for Radha and Krishna. Right? Because she's organizing it, but nothing happened. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the fun. So these are the different things. So she's managing the whole thing. She's arranging it, right? When you expand this down into the others, then you're going to expansions, you're going to get, Bhu-Shakti, right? When you have Narayan, the platform of Vasudeva, then you have Sri, Bhu, and Nila, right? So you have Sri, who's Lakshmi, Bhu, who's making the arrangements on that, on this direct personal arrangements, and then Nila, who's in the background, who's seeing the whole pastime. Does that make sense? Because there's a difference on, you arrange the situation, then there's you, okay, you do this, you do that. Does that make sense? I have to have a situation, that's Nila. Then you arrange that, that's Bhu. Does that make sense? Right. So, yes. So, Lalita Shakti, she's the one who's arranging. Now, she is also within these moods, within these, there's the more right side of the relationship with Krishna and more left. Because you have the Parakya and Swakya, right? So it means the... Yeah, it's going to be... So, right means that the mood is, I belong to Krishna. Left means Krishna belongs to us, right? So the sense of possession is what increases or decreases the intensity, right? Means in your neutral rasa, right? There's no sense of possession. There's just Krishna's great. There's certain qualities or aspects that you appreciate about him. So you can be on that platform of appreciation, be transcendental, and appreciate Krishna's specialness in this area, right? But it doesn't. There's no sense of possession. So therefore, you don't actually have the dynamic interaction. Just Krishna exists in his good qualities, and you exist in the situation of appreciating them. Does this make sense? That's why Shanta Rasa is a rasa, because it's rasa, but it's a neutral rasa because it's not dynamic. It's simply appreciation. You're existing in the appreciation of Krishna's existence. That's all. When you get to servitorship, then there's a sense of possession. Right? That Krishna is, I have this relationship with Krishna. Right? So there's some sense there. Does that make sense? So in majesty, that will be much more his glory and his greatness. Right? So the right side, I belong to Krishna, but it's still, there's that sense of possession. Right? But then you have the element as you get into Goloka, where sweetness comes into play. Vaikuntha, it's only majesty. Braja, it's only sweetness. But in Goloka, then you have, the mix, right? So Mathura and Dwarka is a mix of sweetness and majesty, right? So you have both. So the residents of Dwarka, they interact very freely with Krishna. At the same time, if you ask, they know he's Paramatma. They know he's God, right? Like Devaki, when Krishna appears, then he appears as the child, but then they get worried about him, you know, these like that. But then they start offering prayers as the Supreme Lord. He turns into four-armed Vishnu. But then again, the motherly sentiment, he turns back into a baby. You understand? So you have both these things. Mother just showed it, he's just a baby. So when he shows the universal form, she doesn't then start offering all these wonderful prayers. She just goes, wow, what did I eat for breakfast? You know, it's like, you know. Hey, got some gas. You understand? So, as you come in, then you have these positions, right? So that's what Vasudeva is establishing, right? But then as you goes into it more, that sense of possession is greater. So then the greatest sense of perception is in conjugal rasa. And then that then you have this Swakya and Parakya, right? But both of them will have this sense of ownership, right? But the ownership will be more intense with the left than with the right. But then Parakya will be more intense than Swakya. And then within that, there'll be greater intensity in the left than right. Right? So Lalita is as left as you can get. Right? She's left of left. Right? Vishakha is right of left. And Radharani is the balance, the middle of left. So then you can get the full taste of the extreme or the intensity of that. So when it comes to fighting with Krishna, then that's where Lalita comes into play. Something's gone wrong, she'll be the one fighting. She'll be the one arguing. Then Radharani can sit back. I remember one time we were in the taxi. You know, it was a hired car, not the regular taxi, but still. Then Bhakti Chumarish's car, where he was running the BBT. So we were driving someplace in Calcutta. Then as we're going there, somebody, I don't know if it was another car or a person or something, did something really, really stupid. You know, goes right in front, doesn't look, something, you know, really annoying. So as soon as it happens, then the driver naturally leans out the window and starts, you know, I say, expressing his feelings in the choicest of Bengali language. Right? And so then after that whole little scene was over and we were continuing, then Bhakti Chumash turned to me and said, "See, this is the advantage of the hired driver. He can say all the things you want to say, but you shouldn't because you're a gentleman." Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, Lalita can say all the things Radharani would like to say, but then she can maintain her position of being distant. Does that make sense? Because you'd be aloof, because that's the whole thing. Krishna wants to interact with Radharani, she acts aloof, that works better. But to argue, you have to be interacting. Does this make sense? So she does that. Then you can, does this make sense? You know, same on the other way, is then if something's gone wrong, then Lalita comes in and tries to put it together again. Radha and Krishna aren't talking, she tries to make tricks to, you know, if Krishna can't, in other words, Krishna first does the tricks. You know, Radha and Krishna are there, they're not talking to each other, right? They're back to back to each other, right? But, you know, leaning back to back, but not talking. Right? Krishna wants to talk, Radharani doesn't. So then he may move, he'll poke her or something. And then she'll, "Hey, don't poke me." You know, so that's that's talk, that's good. You understand? So if he can do all that and then start something and then they'll be interacting, then fine. But if he can't, then Lalita comes in, she puts it all together. Does that make sense? So she makes the things and says this and that, tries to make the whole mood work. Because everyone wants to see Radha and Krishna together, but it's about tasting the moods. Because the point is the greater the ecstasy it's gone to, naturally it takes on a different flavor to taste that aspect again. Right? In other words, your favorite preparation remains favorite because you taste other very nice preparations. You understand? So that's why you taste this, then it's something else. So every 20 minutes, the pastimes are transforming. So within the pastime, every 20 minutes, they're doing something different. Standard things, but they're always moving through them. Does that make sense? Right? So then, seeing that somebody, all this is arranged, that's Lalita. Right? And then directly with us, that's Rupa. Yeah. It directly manages. Because Lalita is overseeing bigger things. Right? Because you have Vrindadevi, you have so many other things happening. You know, to pull everything together. Vrindadevi has all the paraphernalia. Right? You're out in the middle of the forest. Right? You need a Veena. Where does that come from? Right? Veena's back in Vrindavan. No, Brinda has them out in the forest. Right? She has her go-downs where she has them. So these things are there, right? Because otherwise, you know, you're going to have a rasa dance, you need lots of musical instruments. Right? So she arranges that. So that means her, Lalita, they're arranging all these things. Rupa's arranging us. Does that make sense? Yeah? So then the whole idea is that if one is serving Krishna under the shelter of Lalita, now that's special. That's the place to be. Right? That's the, because of all the astasakis, then being in her group, that's the main thing to be in. Because Rupa Goswami is in, is her main assistant. Right? The Shakis, they have their main assistants. Right? So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, the six Goswamis, Lokanath Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. They're the main assistants to the eight Shakis. Right? And so of them, Rupa is the head. Right? And that's because of the Shakis, Lalita's, Lalita is the head. Make sense? Yes. How is the Manjari a high position over? No, because Lalita is the one who's, Lalita's the you could say, the senior of the Shakis. Right? And Rupa is her assistant, so she takes care of the maidservants.
All right.
She manages the maidservants, Rupa. But that's what I'm saying. Lalita is working on that bigger level with the other Shakis and others in the arrangements. Right?
Okay.
Rupa manages the maidservants.
It's not a bureaucracy, though, is it?
No. It's direct hands-on management.
Okay.
Yes.
Where does Purnamasi Yogamaya
fit in? Because she's, like we were saying before, she's the one who's arranging everything. Purnamasi's arranging everything. So she will be, she's also known as the Chit Shakti. So she's the, you could say, the aspect of, that primary aspect of, the Sarup Shakti being everything. Radharani takes that mood of the Hladini. So basically, Purnamasi takes care of everything else. Just like Krishna, he is the lord of the Icha Shakti. Balaram is actually taking care of everything else. So he is the Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. He expands as Vasudeva as the Jnana Shakti. So that, therefore, he controls those two. Does that make sense? So it's basically, you could say, is on that platform in Ananda, that's where Radha and Krishna are interacting. So the Sat and Chit, that's taking care of Balaram and Purnamasi. So Balaram does that through his energy, so that will mean Purnamasi. Does that make sense? So she's the biggest one in it who's arranging. Because, as I said, Lalita's arranging within the Icha Shakti. But Purnamasi will be taking care of the Kriya and the Jnana. So that the Icha can function. More, how do you mean, what do you mean by distance? Means because proximity, she's standing right there. But it'll be more formal. Because she's a grandmother, so she doesn't have, she just arranges. Right? While the gopis, they have a conjugal relationship with Krishna.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's just arranging like that. But she knows everything because she is the Yoga Maya. So whatever is Krishna's desire, she knows that. She's fulfilling it. So she manages it so that Radha and Krishna don't have to. And if they don't have to, they can be in the mood, what's called mukdata. Means they don't know what's going on. But Purnamasi is in the mood of has that aspect of sarvagya. She knows what's going on. She knows everything. At the same time, because it's within the Braj pastimes, there'll also be a little bit of that element of a play of watching it unfold. So there's a pleasure in watching it unfold, but she knows what's going to happen. right? But Radha and Krishna don't. So that's the whole. You know, it's just like we were saying, the man at the party, he has the desire that so many things will happen, but he's talking with guests, and then suddenly whoever's the maitre d' or that announces, or that okay, now we're going to move into the next room for, you know, this part of the program. Then it's, oh, okay, now this program's happening. But he has that desire that'll happening, but its exact timing and how it's going to be arranged, that's done by the manager. Does that make sense? So that way Radha and Krishna, they just enjoy the interaction. And then within that enjoyment of the interaction, within that icha aspect, that's where Lalita is managing. Purnamasi is managing what's bigger than that. You know, so the Kriya and the Jnana Shaktis. Right? Or the Sat and the Chit aspects. You know, the existence and the activities. Does that make sense? Yes. How long? How Lalita feels arranging everything. How does she feel after she arranges everything and then Radha and Krishna are... They're not... So as they're having some fun. They're not making fun. There's a difference. No. It means they have some fun. At her expense. They're not making fun. It's part of the taste. See, the thing is we're used to control means we have absolute control. It all goes the way we want. Nothing goes the way we don't want. Because if it doesn't go the way we want and somebody actually finds that funny, then that's an insult. That's why we started off the first two-thirds of the discussion was technical philosophy, so that we could ideally avoid that trap. Because otherwise you can start off talking pastimes and everybody thinks it's great, and then as soon as we walk out of the room, it's, you know, back to normal. You know? I mean, there'll be a little bit in the day, wow, that was nice and this and that. It'll give us some effect. We're definitely purified by it, but be able to apply it into the life. The point is we're looking at it that the secondary doesn't go well, how can there be enjoyment? But then let us give an example. The child, like you have the pastime where Krishna's, Nanda Baba says to bring the shoes, and he's bringing the shoes on his head. He's not walking so well, he's not carrying some well. So there's not perfection in technique, but it's about mood. So in other words, the fun will be, I thought they were together, and then she'll figure it out. So there's all these tastes that these add to Radha and Krishna's pastimes, right? But there's no sense of competition or that. It's about how to please Krishna. Because she is an expansion of Radharani. But Radharani can be conscious of everything else, but who's below can't be conscious of who's above them. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, is because you're looking at it, she did so much, so it's the Kriya Shakti is the real thing. It's not about if everybody's getting enjoyment out of their happiness. It's, I did this, why isn't people appreciating this? Rather, I did this, people are happy, that's my payment. No, it's that I did this, people have to say, wow, that was great. Rather than I did this, everybody's happy, I can just sit back and go, this is good. And if you look, the guy up on the top with the little thing that he's talking to everybody with is smiling because he sees it's all going nice. Like that. So that's why we opened with the very technical things to try to, so that we, you understand, so we would catch what's happening here. Because tasting is about the thing. You know what I'm saying? So you express it through the secondary. It's just like, let's say, the mother cooks for the child, okay? And the child appreciates it. But what is the child going to mention? If you're talking about the food, right, and eating the food, what will be the appreciation about? the food. It tastes nice, it's this, it's that. That's the secondary aspects. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to mention necessarily the primary aspect. So the primary is expressed through the secondary. That's why you have to have it. The rasa dance happens because of the secondary arrangements. But it's about the primary of what feelings that they'll get from it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's technically why, you know, pastimes are there, like Prabhupada, how he presents it, then is very nice because he so smoothly goes from the actual verses of the 10th canto into giving the philosophical support from the other 9 cantos and works it in so smoothly in the Krishna book. Whenever Prabhupada discusses that, because if he discusses straight pastime, then unless you've actually studied the first 9 cantos nicely, that you've come to be able to appreciate the concept of rasa, we won't be able to get the full benefit. You know, it's just like we were saying, is that I give you something to eat, it tastes nice, but now if you've been informed about the quality of the thing that I'm feeding you, oh, this is some very rare thing from this place, we brought it, it only grows in this season, it's like this, it's like that, and I mention all the qualities, you'll appreciate it more. You understand? So that's the whole idea, is the first 9 cantos, then we appreciate actually what we're dealing with. Then we can really get into what's rasa. Because what you talked about is not rasa, it's control. Right? Because rasa is happening in icha. Right? But arrangements are happening in kriya. And the existence and what's the mood overall, that's in jnana. So what's touted as main in the material world is kriya. You have to get something done. You know, you have to do something big. And we can use that for Krishna. That's what Prabhupada mentions, that if we don't, you know, being Westerners, if we don't do something big in Mayapur, what's the use of being Westerners? Right? The locals will sit down under a tree and chant japa and be happy. Like that. Because they'll just directly go for those aspects. But as Westerners, we look at these others. You understand? So we have to understand, but that is in support of, like, we're building a big temple. So now, is it about the big temple? Everyone will come and say the big temple is nice, they want to see the big temple, and the benefit is they go in and take darshan of the deities. Right? So the deities are here now in this situation. They were in a smaller situation before. Right? So just the bigger thing, if you have the smaller thing, some people come. You have the bigger thing because people see the secondary. So they want to come see the biggest temple and like this. But then they get tricked as they get engaged in the primary. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing that we're doing. You make the activity, you arrange the secondary so people are tricked into the primary. Right? Nowadays you have to be very careful that because the focus is so much on the secondary, we're taking the secondary is the devotional service instead of the support. Then we start to adjust the secondary to match the contemporary environment, and then there is no primary. So then that's basically a total waste of time. You understand? Because the weakness is we take secondary as primary. And primary, if you bring it up, everyone will say it's nice. You know, like you talk to someone from your contemporary world religions, then, you know, then it's, you know, you're supposed to be a good person. And that's what they'll talk about. But if you ask them, okay, well, why should you be a good person? Okay, because, you know, and who sets the standards and what's good? Oh, God. But you have to ask. Okay, so then that means God's the controller, the lawmaker, the judge, and all that. Yes. Is God a person? Oh, yes. You understand? You have to keep asking to get back to these higher levels. Because the set standard thing is, I'm a good person, then things work out good for me. And, you know, of course, God's in the background. Just like the common person walking down the street, he's not really worried about the government when he stops at the zebra crossing and then waits for the light and then crosses when he's supposed to, and looks both ways. You know, he's just doing because it'll work out better for him. You know, he's appreciating the government, but he doesn't really care about the government. It's not that he's thinking, yes, you know, my local mayor. I really want to please him, so I'm walking across at the zebra. You know, you could probably no one even knows who the mayor is. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is we have to be very careful that we're focusing to bring that primary element forward. Otherwise, the tendency is we'll just look at the secondary, which is the way of expressing the primary. You can't separate them. That's the point of Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. You can't separate the two, but they're different. You understand? You know, it's just like, it means it's about the cooking, but you cook with pots. The pots are secondary. The kitchen's secondary. The cooking is primary, but you express cooking through the kitchen. But it's not about the kitchen. It's about the cooking. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the guy, you know, in New York City, you know, in Manhattan, and he's got a Lamborghini. That's about the secondary. Because you can't drive it over, you know, 20 kilometers an hour. And that's on a good day, and all the lights are green, hey. You know? Maybe you get it to 40. You know? You know what I'm saying? So it's about the secondary there. That you have this, that's the special thing. The problem, you know, but the point is, you know, you can't do anything with it. You can't park it. You can't go over a speed bump. So you have to drive around the streets that don't have speed bumps. So it's actually slower than, you know, getting yourself, you know, some little dinky compact. Because that you can go anywhere over anything, right? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, yes.
How Krishna's name and form are the same, and how that's a primary quality. So since that is the case, why is there a difference between us chanting Krishna's name, as in Krishna, and chanting the names of, say, other described faiths such as Islam, Judaism, or Christianity?
Because those are secondary names.
If they're the names of Krishna, aren't they the same?
No. Allah means what?
I have no idea.
Okay, it means the Great One. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so they're indicating Krishna's element is God. So that's a Paramatma level. Right? Or if we talk about the supreme or the all-pervading, then we're talking about the Brahman level. Krishna is talking about his qualities of interaction with the devotees. His attractiveness. So that's a primary name. So you always get more potency from primary names than secondary names, because they're in relationship to Krishna and his devotees in that interaction. So as we said, rasa is what's important to Krishna, not being God. He is God. He always was, always will be. So it's not special to be, you know, like every day you wake up in the morning and, you know, people got to mention that you're a human being and stuff like that, and, you know, wow, you know, hey, you got two arms and two legs, yeah, I had yesterday, yeah, you got today too, yeah, great, yeah, cool, you know, all these kinds of, you know, it's, you don't have to discuss that. It's what you're going to do with it that's important. So Krishna's being God is not what's important to him. It's interacting with the devotees that's important. So those names that indicate his interaction with the devotees, Yashoda Nandana, Nandana Nandana, you know, Gora Sundara, all these different things, these are what is primary. So those you get more benefit than the secondary.
Is there still a benefit at all for the
Yeah, of course there's a benefit. Of course, even Om, which is just the Brahman platform, Prabhupada mentions in Gita, if people are crazy, if they chant Om, then, you know, they'll become less crazy.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Yes.
That the Manjaris, or sometimes we've heard, or I've heard that the Manjaris, they experience very high ecstasies of deep love for Krishna. So my question is how can the Manjaris, who are taking care of secondary aspects in the arrangement of the primary lila between Radha and Krishna, how can they experience an ecstasy that's primary when they're taking care of secondary aspects?
Because the secondary is so that the primary can manifest. Right? Does that make sense? So you take care of that, then that experience is there. Because your whole purpose was that experience should be gained. When it's gained, you appreciate it. You know, you can see that you've made the, you've gone in, you've put the flower bed, you've...
You study the formulas to understand how it works, but in its applications altogether. Just like if you study karma yoga on its own, jnana yoga on its own, jnana yoga on its own, but in practical application of yoga's life, all things are going on at every moment at once. But to be able to define this, you know, what's working, that's the... Is that what
that means? Also, you're mentioning that Krishna manifests the
So
does that also happen with other residents? Sometimes
Mukta doesn't move. No, generally Mukta doesn't move. Because in Braj, Mukta means they don't, they just look under yoga maya, that's when they appear. Because you see, as soon as there's a sarvaka aspect, there's no interest. Mother showed it's not that she becomes attracted by sin, Krishna Jiva is a false.
But it
is there, no, it's just the relationship stops. It doesn't function. Mother Yashoda doesn't function as Mother Yashoda. So therefore, the point is to show the difference in how Shoda, the universal form on the battlefield, and that relationship works in Gorga, as how it affects it in Raj. The demigods come down and visit the Yudhishthira Maharaj. They're all there, they're respectful, they get their seats and everything. And all that, and after they go, it was very nice they came with that. The demigods, when Krishna comes back from the outer fields in the evening, the demigods come down to offer prayer, because it's the one time in the day they can get a gap. Right? Now the outer boy has been trained by the mothers to behave himself. So they stay in the background and don't say anything. It's Krishna's interaction with, you know, Indra and Ganesh and, you know, she and everybody like that. But after they leave and they're sure they're gone, and it's like, hey, you see the guy with a thousand eyes? Yeah, you got the guy with the elephant. How do you get to the door? You know, so they leave. So it's just some fun. They heard about this pastime, you know, so Krishna takes, you know, the form of Vishnu, right? And Vishnu takes the form of Garuda to fly around with it and laugh at it. And then go back to wherever they go. It doesn't have any significance. It's not that they don't know, it just doesn't have that significance. Right? Then when Krishna behaves badly with the gopis, then they mention that, yeah, you have a history of not being able to know how to deal with women. You know, just like how you dealt with Suparna. So for them, it's one person. And this is the aspect of their practice. Right? The wife knows the husband is the high court judge, but she doesn't want to go with him. It's not that her greatest happiness is going to the court and when he walks in standing up and, okay, now he's seated and, you know, all the announcements and all the formalities to have. It's about him at home. She knows he's there. She can deal with that, but that's not the relationship. So therefore, at court, the relationship's not functional.
Formally it is. She is the wife of the high court judge, so no one messes with her. But as far as interacting with her husband, what, she can't interact. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, they're at the end of the case, the defense and the prosecution have made their thing, so is there any last statements? And then the wife stands up and says, okay, since this is over, are you going to be home in time?
Can she do that? No. So therefore, but at home, he's the big guy there. Like his gavel, you know, his life and death. You know what I'm saying? The lawyer gets out of hand, he can suspend it. But you can give a judgment of death penalty. But at home, he does what the wife says.
You understand? So the whole point is it's not that you don't know, it's that's not important in the relationship. For the expression of the relationship, that's not important. It's not that, oh, he's a high court judge, so I won't get on his case for forgetting the cauliflowers. No, he's the husband, he forgot the cauliflowers, he gets chastised. Does that make sense? So that's Braj. Dwarka and Mathura, you'll have a mix. Vaikuntha, it'll only be on reverence.
Is it because of the
Yes. Yes, because as we said, when you expand, I mean, the when you're dealing with the aspect of majesty, then Swakya is more prominent than Parakya. Because Parakya, it has a meaning, its intensity is appreciated when it's left wing. While the Swakya, or the married life, is appreciated when it's right wing. You understand? That's the way the standards move. It's not that you don't have, because it's like this. Rukmini is very formal. It goes on very nicely. But when Krishna goes out flying on Garuda to go to heavenly planets to go battle or something like that, then who does Rukmini go with him? No, Satyabhama, because she's left. So it has that, but she's not the prominence. You know what I'm saying? So the taste is there, but it's not necessarily the prominence. You know what I'm saying? So even, let's say you have the king, he has one queen, she's left wing. But in the court, she's not. But when they cross the threshold of the inner apartments, then she is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to be able to distinguish. That's the whole point of analyzation, is to be able to distinguish. It's not facts, because we're not worried about facts. Facts are facts. They're reality. What we're worried about is what's the significance of the fact. What effect does it have? So you see, everything goes, you're dealing with energy, right? So therefore, now let us say, here's why I didn't bring it up before, because it might have been confusing. In Swakya, can the wife say the husband is hers? The wife, she can't say that legally he's my husband. She can't, okay? In Parakya, can they technically say this person is mine? No. But, you see, in the manifestation of the relationship, where it is that you can say, this is my husband, he's mine, the prominent mood is, I am his. And where I can't say, he's mine, then the prominent mood is, he's mine. So you understand? We're dealing with energy. It's always the opposite. Everything always changes. It's in one position, you adjust it, it always flips. That's why we get confused, is because you have the definition in one area, then when it moves into the next, it switches. And then we say, no, but over here it's like this. Why? How do they connect? Because everything is connected. It's just which one becomes more prominent at what time. In any given situation, one of the energies is more prominent than the other. Does that make sense? So that's why it appears to shift. That's why number two becomes number one there. But the most intense elements of the pastimes are happening with number two in Dwarka, with Satyabhama. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, the sense of possession creates more intensity. So as that becomes greater, it moves up in the rasas to conjugal, which is the most intense. Right? And then of that, left will be more intense than right. Parakya will be more intense than Swakya. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it just keeps going. That's why when you're starting off with Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya, and he says, what's the highest thing? He starts off performing your duties in Varnashram. He said that's external. That means it's secondary. It's not the primary. The primary is prema. Right? Devotees mistakenly think, oh, he's rejected Varnashram. That has nothing to do with it. He never rejected it. He just said that's secondary. It's not primary. Because he's trying to get him to prema. Once he gets to prema, then he says, okay, now we have something to talk about. And then he takes it from prema, which is on the second level of the 10 levels of prema, to Mahabhav. And then within Mahabhav, you have 3 levels. And so getting it to that platform of Radharani on that top level, that's where the conversation ends. So there's so many things that are there, so many levels and all that. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. I think we should end here. It's already 9:00, we should stop. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivarinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Lalita Devi Ki. Right.